These are the people, the movers and the shakers, the businesses, the people you know in your community who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on the Voice of Pittsburgh, News Radio 1020, KDKA.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, and it's time for a very special Pittsburgh Works, and I'm probably more excited about having him here than he is being here on a Saturday morning. Bill Powers from the Pittsburgh Opera. Bill is the director of artistic operations, and the company is very busy preparing for their next show, Puccini's Madame Butterfly at the Benedum Center. It is an honor to have you here, Bill, and I got to say, this is such a treat, what you have been able to experience, not just working for them, but to be here and to share with our audience. Let's talk about what does work when it comes to the Pittsburgh Opera, especially as far as having a major show like this about to open. Good morning.
Good morning. It's a real honor to be here. Thanks for taking some time this morning to talk with us. We opened Puccini's Madama Butterfly in March. And, grand opera is the combination of everything. It's music, it's dance, it's theater, it's sets and lights and costumes and orchestra and chorus. So it is the grandest of art forms and the combination of all of them. So, the forces that go behind it and the numerous Pittsburghers who commit their lives and their time to dedicating themselves to the high quality that we put on stage is quite remarkable. Obviously, we're bringing in some world-renowned singers, singers that our audiences and other opera fans will have seen on the Met HD broadcasts. Our prima donna, the Cho-Cho-san, the Madama Butterfly, is actually coming over from Italy. So she's an Italian singer of that tradition coming over here to sing this role with us. Our sharpless is Dwayne Croft, who's a storied baritone in the Metropolitan Opera and opera companies throughout the world. And our tenor, Pinkerton, is a young tenor, Brian Imel, who just stepped in at the Met in Les Troyennes, a big opera that he did there, stepped in at the last second and made a real mark and real waves in the opera audiences. So we're really pleased to have that quality of artists coming in. But there's also probably 40 some odd choristers on stage.
Yeah, and you also contract these singers, lead singers, out 2 and 3 years in advance.
Yeah, yes, that is true. We've had all of them on the books probably for 2+ years now, and you have to do that. These are singers of that caliber coming in, and you have to look ahead and plan in that way so that you can ensure that Pittsburgh is in their calendar, and so you're looking ahead, and so that's always something we're doing. You know, we're planning now, we're starting to plan for season 2014-15 and 15-16. So we're always looking as far as the artists. But locally, you know, our chorus is all Pittsburghers. Our orchestra, our Pittsburgh Opera Orchestra, is made up of musicians, all who live here, our crew, our staff. I mean, this is a real effort of this city that comes together to mount these productions. And I applaud them, and I'm proud to work with them.
So you're a producing organization as opposed to a presenting organization.
Yes, that's true. Pittsburgh invested producing organization, which means that we bring in the sets and the scenery and the costumes and the lights, and we produce the work. We're not bringing in a company from, you know, Chicago or, you know, Milan or something and saying we're going to present the, you know, La Scala or the Metropolitan Opera. It is the Pittsburgh Opera for that reason, or Pittsburgh Opera.
Before we take our first break, I just want to mention one name. And she's going to be here in a couple of months. Millie Posvar. What has she meant to the Pittsburgh Opera?
Well, Millie is on our board now. She's had a storied career as a mezzo-soprano, singing the great lyric mezzo-soprano roles, frankly, at the Metropolitan Opera for countless years. She is a voice teacher now at Carnegie Mellon University. She founded the Opera Theater of Pittsburgh, the other opera company in town. So she's committed herself both as an artist and as an impresario to this art form.
All right. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about your new headquarters in the Strip, and we've got so much more to talk about. But whether they want tickets to Butterfly or anything that you're doing, what's the best way to get
it? Well, you can always go online at pittsburghopera.org, or you can go on by phone, 412-456-6666, or you can always go down to the box office at the Theater Square box office on Penn Avenue. So many ways to get tickets to come see our shows.
Do me a favor, just as we go to break, your background, and you and I were getting to meet each other, and you mentioned a couple of things that just kind of made me say, wow, this guy's talk about a career, but tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Well, as I was telling you before, I studied music in college and in my youth, and then left college and ended up with a fellowship at the Juilliard School, where I ultimately served as the administrative director of all the vocal programs at that prestigious institution, and then left there and spent several seasons on the artistic department of the Metropolitan Opera, really working at the highest level with some of the greatest artists, Placido Domingo and Luciano Pavarotti, Rene Fleming, and so forth. And then shortly thereafter went to a couple of other institutions, the Aspen Music Festival, Music Academy of the West in Santa Barbara, and then and Christopher Hahn called me one day, our general director here, and said, well, would you come out to Pittsburgh? And I came out and talked with them, and I've been here for 6 years now.
You know, when I hear of some of those people that you just mentioned singing, actually Facebooked Enrico Caruso last night, you know, it just amazes me where this talent comes from. How old were you when you went, this is what I think I want to do? And how did you first start to notice, or your parents notice, that you had this gift?
That's a great question. I was in high school, basically, and I went to see my first opera. I saw La Boheme, which is a lot of people's first opera, and fell in love with the art form. And from there, you know, I played sports. I was a sports guy. I played football and basketball and baseball, and I gave it all up, and I turned to this art form because it just moved me so much. And that's the visceral response. That is the response that people have to this art form. A lot of people are scared of it. A lot of people don't know. What are they getting into? I don't know the language. This seems highbrow. You know, I have to wear a tuxedo, whatever it might be. But I walked through the doors one day, sat down, the curtain went up, and that was it.
Put me in, coach. All right, good stuff. All right, we'll come right back. Bill Powers here from the Pittsburgh Opera. It's 9:13 on Pittsburgh Works.
We're live. We're local. We're the voice of Pittsburgh. News Radio 1020 KDKA. These are the people who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on the voice of Pittsburgh, KDKA.
Hello.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. This is Pittsburgh Works, and we are talking to Bill Powers from the Pittsburgh Opera. All right, I want to talk to you about your new headquarters in the Strip. How exciting is that?
Oh, well, it's extremely exciting, and it's now probably our fifth year now, fourth or fifth year now. We purchased an old Westinghouse air brake factory between 24th Street and 25th Street on Liberty Avenue, and we've converted it into our headquarters, and there are our offices, our costume shop, we have our rehearsal space, and we actually have a performance space where we're constantly engaging the community, bringing in artists that do little recitals. We do tons of free events there. Every second Saturday of the month, we have a brown bag concert, which is a free one-hour concert. Brings in 250 to 300 people every Saturday, and it's a great way to introduce people to opera, to hear opera, and to just take a little break as you're shopping in the Strip District. And we also rent the space out, believe it or not. Weddings, bar mitzvahs, and other events. We have a space there that's available and is extremely popular. We're starting to take bookings for 2014-15 in the space. So it's one of those great buildings, those historical buildings in our community that we have transferred into a multi-use space to engage the community.
All right, Madame Butterfly, beautiful but tragic story about a young Japanese girl that is coming to the Pittsburgh Opera. Let's talk a little bit about this famous opera and its story, Bill.
Well, you just played a bit of probably the most famous aria from the piece, Un Bel Di, and it's this great moment at the top of Act Two of the opera where Chocho-san, or Butterfly, who's appropriately named, right? She's this woman whose wings are sort of clipped in a way, a beautiful woman whose wings wings are clipped by an arranged marriage with an American naval officer who marries her for a contract of 999 years that can be broken at any time. I mean, this officer comes over and just, you know, has his way. He's having fun. He's young. He's experiencing the world. And he gets arranged with this geisha, effectively. And she's at the top of Act Two here. She's with her maid, Suzuki. And Suzuki's saying, we're running out of money. The Pinkerton, the naval officer, has been away for 3 years now and has not come back yet. And they're running out of money. And this is a beautiful aria where she says, one beautiful day, I'm going to see a puff of smoke in the harbor. And it's going to be his ship. And he's going to come running up the hill, but I'm not going to go running to him, partly because I'm going to be so nervous, but partly to tease him. And then he's going to come in and he's going to call me his little nickname. And you wait and see, this will happen. And
go ahead, finish your thought.
No, it's just this great musical moment where she's convincing herself, she's convincing her audience, and it's a profound aria of the piece and of our repertoire.
I've never been to the Pittsburgh Opera. I've admired it from afar for many years, but is this the right opera for someone who's a novice and has never seen one before?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Rob, I was telling you, you know, before, we're going to get you there, undoubtedly.
I'm good for that.
And it is, it has something for everybody. It's a beautiful drama, beautiful music. It's captivating. It's succinct in its story. So it's not one of these where you're there for 6 hours going, oh my gosh, when's Act Two going to get over? It's a beautifully precise opera that is, and a story that is just profoundly moving. Bring your Kleenex, if you're going to come, And you know, as far as young children, we're always trying to engage younger audiences. Obviously, at the end, there's a tragic moment where she decides to make the ultimate sacrifice. I would say, in general, you know, probably 8 or 9 years old is a good age. Some may bring kids younger, but there is that one moment that we have to, you know, be cognizant of in the opera.
And I've always listened to opera or to opera music and not understood it all, but it was enough for me to understand it in my soul that there's a lot of tragedy and there's triumph too. But why is it that even through the tragedy, you find triumph in opera?
Oh, what a great question. Why is it that in any tragedy we find triumph? You know, think about the issues of today that we're dealing with, the tragedies of Newtown, the tragedies of hurricanes or natural disasters. I think that's the beauty of opera, is that it's a reflection of those tragedies in a way, and we get to celebrate them and to triumph over them as a society and as a people, and we choose to use theater to do that. In society, our struggles are a little different. In our lives, they're different. But it's a reminder, in a way, every time you go, that there is triumph in tragedy.
Che Bellicosa, of course, you know, O Solo Mio. I was looking at the three tenors, and they dress just so beautifully in their tails. And a lot of people are saying, I would like to go, but you know what, do I have to get dressed? See, to me, that would be half the fun of it. But do you have to wear a tuxedo?
You do not. And it is half the fun.
It is.
You wanna dress up in your tuxedo? I'll see you there in my tuxedo. You wanna wear black and gold? You know, be proud. You wanna wear shorts and a t-shirt?
Not doing that at the opera now. Come on.
You know, it's really not about what you wear.
Right.
Come on in. Walk through the doors. Take the experience. The curtain's going to come up and you'll be surprised. We put the translations above the stage. So you'll actually read what they're saying as they're saying it. So we make the experience very accessible. This is not something where you think, oh my gosh, what am I getting into? I don't know the language. I really don't know the story or who this composer is. But we really, when you walk through the doors, we're doing everything we can to sort of make it as accessible and entertaining as it possibly can.
Now, this is not a typo. These ticket prices, I would have never thought, honestly, I would have never thought of them to be this reasonable. And I'm not just saying that because you're here. unless this is a typo.
No, it's not a typo.
Do we have the same script here?
We do.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, our lowest price tickets are $10.
But they're on the main floor.
They are on the main floor. And then also throughout the house as well. But we have $10 tickets on the main floor of the Benenum Center to see this opera. Now, they go fast, as you could imagine. They're popular. And so you have to kind of call and get them certainly in advance. But we're, again, part of our desire to make this art form, this great art form, extremely accessible. You, for the price of a movie, you can come in and see this live theater, this beautiful story told with all those forces that we talked about at the top of the show, live downtown at the Benenum Center. So go have a bite to eat, you know, put on your tuxedo or don't.
Come on.
And grab a $10 or a certainly higher price tickets, as you could imagine as well, and come down and see us.
By the way, PittsburghOpera.org, or you can call 412-456-6666, an in-person Theater Square box office on Penn Avenue. The talent of some of the young people in our area, and thank goodness for the Pittsburgh Opera and what you're doing for some of the performing arts schools. Tell the audience about that.
Well, we have a robust education program at Pittsburgh Opera. Not only do we every year bring in 3,000 school children to the Benedum to see one of our operas on a Thursday morning. That's actually upcoming. We're producing Rossini's La Cenerentola, which is sort of the Cinderella story with a few twists. And we'll fill the house with 3,000 school children. But we also have numerous programs where we'll go out to the schools and we're singing for school children in their classrooms or in their music classrooms. And then we have workshops for teachers. Teachers come to our building and they study the opera and they hear singing. And so we have programs for underserved communities, trying to, again, reach out to the audiences that we know will be moved by this art form. So it really is taking every step to make it accessible. But, they're great programs. And we have mock auditions for high school students. Aspiring singers come in once a year, and we'll put them through mock auditions to show them this is what it's like. And they're profoundly moved by them and enjoy that process.
All right, listen, next time you're here on my dime, because you're going to be a great guest to have in the Rolodex. By the way, La Boheme will be here in April of 2014. Madame Butterfly, so much more. The Magic Flute is coming in 2013. Dark Sisters is coming. Please go to PittsburghOpera.org or 412-456-6666 or the Theater Square box office on Penn Avenue. Bill Powers, thank you. Bravo.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.